chapter 3. That's where we're going to spend some time. So I asked Mike if he would word of prayer, and he said he would. So Mike's going to start us with a prayer.
Let's pray. And God, our Father, we're grateful, so grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thankful for the work that Tim has put in to prepare some thoughts for us to study this word, this book of Galatians that you provided us. Help us to learn the truths that are in it. Help Tim to be able to teach it clearly and effectively so that we can apply it to our lives. Help us to be active listeners and those that are willing to consider the things that are said, to apply them to our hearts and minds, and to challenge them if we see them to be not in accordance with your will, but regardless, help us to just be fair-minded and energetic in our study of your word. It has such a deep impact on our decisions every day. It helps us to fend off the information that flies at us from so many directions in the world. Help us to just really put this into our hearts and make us strong. Help us to have a quick defense for the hope that is within us through times we spend like this studying your word and applying to it, applying our lives to it. Be with those that are unable to be here for whatever reason, the many in our number that are sick and traveling, those that are still struggling with health issues or spiritual matters. Just help us to always be prayerful and mindful of ways we can reach out and be compassionate and helpful to them. Thank you for all the parents that continue to bring their children and to see the encouragement we get from them as well, and continue to be with our family that meets here at Greenway. So prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, Galatians. Just 2 minutes. What have we already looked at? But what has been the purpose of chapter 1 and chapter 2? Any thoughts? What is Paul extensively trying to do? Set up, where does his authority come from? From God.
Yep.
Right? Where did the Judaizer teacher's authority not come from? Not from God. Right? Why does circumcision not matter? Because it's works of the old law. It's Christ died. The new law has been established through Christ's death. The works aren't, and even in the old way, they weren't justified by it. It was just a system there. Right. You guys probably don't know me well enough. I have a friend who calls me when he wants advice. And do you know why he calls me? Because he's like, Tim, you're the person that looks at too many different ways, and you talk for too long, but I always hear every side of the argument. Which is true. If you guys ever actually asked my advice on something, you would find that out. I talk way too much. It's interesting, and I only say that to say, chapter 1 and chapter 2, how does chapter 2 end? Chapter 2 basically says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. It's almost like Paul concludes his argument there. Or he could have concluded his argument there. But doesn't.
But you know, Jim, what's interesting, he has, I didn't want to interrupt you, I just want to get this in there. He has something that you can use for shore up material, and that's superiority of the gospel. I mean, you can't get around that. I mean, that,
yeah, so
it's prima facie evidence.
But my only thought here is, if Paul, let's just say for some reason we didn't have 3 through 6, and Paul ended the book at chapter 2, has he already given enough proof and evidence that what he's saying is true? Mm-hmm. I believe that he has. But then we get to chapter 3 and chapter 4, where I believe if you had any doubt whatsoever, he's going to remove all of the rest of the doubt that you may have had. And I think it's interesting, because I think that Paul starts by answering the issue. But then even further, and we're going to get through it, there's six things that I believe he produces in chapters 3 and chapter 4. I don't know, to strengthen, to clarify, I don't know what word is the right word to fit in there. But he uses different aspects, different avenues to further prove why what he's saying is the way it should be. And we're going to start looking at it. But I just think it's interesting. If you haven't gone back and looked at it, just read chapter 1 and 2 and say, man, Paul, you got a good point. Let's move forward. But he continues through. And I think it's, you know, again, it inspired, right? Inspired word of God. So whatever the rest of it we have, we need. But it's interesting that he almost concludes his argument or has a concluding statement at the end of chapter 2. And then he jumps in and further goes down this path. So just something to think about, something to consider. I had a note 1:6. Starts descending from here. Yeah, okay. So I think that we already read this, right? Did we already read this? I'm gonna read it. I'll read it to you. I'm gonna read real quick chapter 3:1-14, where again it's not a new argument, but I think that Paul continues to strengthen his case for, hey, why should you not trust what the Judaizing teachers are saying and take the faith and trust in God? I think we're going to look at it six different ways. So there's four questions up here. As I read, think to yourself about these four questions. So this is Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read through 14. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Verse 7. Knowing then that if those of the faith who are the sons of Abraham and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Okay, big picture. Who's speaking in the verse? I can't go away from not pointing that out, but who's writing?
Paul
is writing. Right? What or who is he speaking to or speaking about? Big picture, what do you think?
Nations.
Who's he speaking to?
Galatians.
Yeah. Where? How does verse 1 start?
Foolish
Galatians.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So who were the people in the Galatians? Again, more than one church. But who were they? Jews and Gentiles together, okay? And the ones that were wanting to hold the old law or bind the old law, who we're calling Judaizers right now, right? What's he speaking about? Cut.
faithfulness is the one.
Okay. Is there a switch? So bear with me here. We have 1 through 14. Paul is continuing down an argument, yes? He's presenting his case for an argument. Okay? I think there's a switch in there. And I don't want to belabor how random or around our thoughts. But there's a switch in what he's presenting in his argument. Where is it? I'm just going to throw it out there. Find a verse where he seems to change his thought or his tone. Okay, 6. What happens? Let's read 6. 6 says, now 1 through 5. So is that Paulie?
Yeah.
Paulie's great. Paulie's throwing out verse 6. Let's see why. 1 to 5. Look at 1 to 5. What is the argument in 1 to 5 for the people that are listening? Paulie, at least if it counts, that's what I was thinking too. But what is 1 to 5? Before your eyes, did you receive, have begun the Spirit, so many things in vain, if indeed, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work? What kind of things is he talking about in 1 through 5?
The Spirit.
Yes.
Things that have happened to the Galatians.
Okay. Can we put that in a physical realm? Things that they've seen. Things that they've received. So he starts this argument in chapter 3, I believe, with some personal things. Okay? Verse 6, and following to what I believe verse 14. Verse 6 says, just as Abraham believed in God and it was counted to him, know then that if those, what does he start listing in the rest of those verses? There's a lot of quotation marks. What is he quoting?
Old Testament.
The Old Testament. And I think if we had more time, and this was a different class, we may go through each of those pieces and see where they came from and where they were. But trust me, they're all there. And Paul is using them to support his continued argument of the old law. But that second part, what are those more of?
History.
Okay. And isn't he more, he says a few times, let me find the verse.
Under the law, cursed by the law, justified. The righteous shall be justified, this is verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall be justified by what?
Faith.
But the law is not of faith, rather, that's the law. The one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us.
I think that he switches more to spiritual things in that 6 through 14. Things that you guys should have realized after the fact. Right? And I think it's, again, he's going to get into 4 other things that hopefully we can look at as we go. But I think the first part is more of a physical argument. Hey, this is why you guys should see. And in the second half, it's like, hey, this is the spiritual side of the things that you guys should see. And he finishes in verse 14. Verse 14 says, so that in Christ, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that you can receive the promised Spirit through what?
Faith.
What did Christ redeem us from?
Curse.
The curse.
Do you think he's more focused now on the Judaizing Christians here? Because he's been quoting all the Old Testament. The Gentiles, Christians, would not have known those Old Testament verses.
Yeah, what a good question. If you didn't hear Don's question, is he focusing more towards the Judaizers in the second half? I don't know. Because I don't have a great answer for that. He does seem to switch. But what's interesting for the Judaizers is, who is he start talking about? Abraham. And why is that interesting for the law and the works of the law?
Jews know now fully who he was.
Okay, The Jews would have known who Abraham was. Who did they call themselves?
Sons of Abraham.
Physical or spiritual?
Both.
Well, for them, I think it would be physical. Mm-hmm. Us, what are we? We are also sons of Abraham. But is ours by physical descendant?
No.
No. I think that's the end of the verses. It's because Christ died and it fulfilled the final promise and we're all blessed through the promise. So, I'm bouncing around your question. But, if I'm a Judaizer and I'm trying to hold to the aspects or hold the Gentiles to the aspects of the law, and all of a sudden Paul produces this argument, it's like, wait.
Yeah.
Which law was Abraham under? Was he under the law that had works and yeah. had to be circumcised? And he no. wasn't. He wasn't.
Before the law.
He was before it. So wait a minute, Paul. So I it seems to be some of the things would be focused towards the Judaizers. But I still think it's big picture he's talking to all of them. Because again, who do we want to convert and teach? Just the Gentiles or everybody? Probably everybody.
The entire world.
So it's a good question. If someone has a better answer than that, I certainly would entertain it. But if you're a Judaizer, you're like, well, wait a minute, Paul. Why are you arguing about Abraham? It's the works of the law that matter. But Abraham, it says, and maybe we can go read that, but I don't quite want to get there, but is it Genesis 15:6? Yes. I think it's 15:6. Yes. Mike, do you have that? You're disagreeing with me. Okay,
I'll read it. I need to submit it to my Bible.
Yeah. 15:6. This is Genesis 15:6, which is before, we're looking specifically at circumcision, but this would be before all of that, before the law, okay? Genesis 15:6 says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Who's the him?
Abraham.
So was Abraham justified by faith and righteous before God?
Yes.
That's what it says. But wait, Judaizers. If you have to be circumcised, then how was Abraham justified before all of that? It was by God and the faith. Which again, I think is fascinating. Because of the... I don't want to overstep my bounds, but yes, Paul is writing, but this is inspired word of God, right? So Paul is writing in an inspired way, and I think it's fascinating that to address the argument to the Judaizers, he doesn't even address the law. He goes to before the law and says, well, wait a second, guys, this is Abraham, and he was fine, and then the law came, because then he gets into what? The curse, right? Why was it? What was the curse? What is the curse? Okay. Those are verses that maybe we should read a few of those. Deuteronomy. Let's go to. Let's see. Have I picked up everything I want? I think so. It's one of my questions later, but we're there. We might as well look at it. Let's start in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. What happened in Genesis? We just covered this with Daniel. Sin happened. Adam and Eve. Okay? Genesis chapter 3. Again, just stealing a few verses. But Genesis chapter 3, 14 and 15. Genesis 3, 14 through 19 is what I want to read. So Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offsprings and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat, in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns, thistles, it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Mm-hmm. Chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your head. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. So Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Okay, now that was all before, yes? Deuteronomy chapter 7 is going to be during, if you will, yeah? When the law is there. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Deuteronomy 27, 26, which again, I apologize for just taking verses, but Deuteronomy 27, 26 says, cursed be anyone who does not conform to the words of the law by doing them. And all the people shall say amen. Okay, time out. Right, we're going to jump to Colossians in a second here. But in Deuteronomy 27, 26, cursed be those who what? Don't obey the law. Was it part of the law or was it all of the law?
Oh.
All of the law. Was it easy to fulfill all of the law?
No.
No way. No way. So it's not a perfect system. And did it forgive sins? No. It just rolled them over. We still owed, we owed until when?
Nice.
That's the difference in the sacrifice of Christ. That's why we were cursed and we're not cursed anymore.
Yeah.
Because we had this imperfect system that you could never hold up to anyways, but it was leading to the death of Christ. And when Christ died and shed his blood, that's the redeemed part. He paid the cost. He paid the price, and those sins were gone. Okay, Colossians chapter 2. We just got done with Colossians. But that's why all three of these books we've done together. Colossians chapter 2. Somebody read for me. I keep stealing the reading. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read 8 through 15. Colossians chapter 2, 8 through 15. Whoever wants to read, go ahead. Okay. 8 through 15.
See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all of us of our transgressions. Canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him.
Okay. So the debt that we owed, the curse that we were under, where is it now?
Nailed to the cross.
Gone. Once we what? I do think it's interesting, circumcised and uncircumcised, right? There's the terms we've been thinking about. But when we are buried, and again, we just got done with Paul saying, I am crucified with him, it's no longer I who live, but he who lives in me, right? Sorry, I think I just misquoted that, but...
close.
So, when Christ, Paul is saying, when Christ died, does any of, I don't want to say none of that matters anymore, but Christ took care of that debt that we owed. He redeemed us. Right?
And we're still doing it. Verse 12, chapter 2 of Colossians, it says that, you know, at the end of chapter 11, it says, you know, that by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith,
mm-hmm.
the working of God. So there's a connection there between baptism and faith, which goes back to the connection between Abraham and faith,
right,
in Galatians, which goes back to the statements about foolishness and how are you bewitched, because the idea of foolishness in this case is not that they were mentally incapable.
Yes.
It's that they had the ability to reason and think, but they weren't thinking. They weren't using their practical knowledge of what they'd been taught.
Yes.
They had been taught this, and especially the Jews would have known this about Abraham. I mean, I've never been in a synagogue of the Jews in the time of Jesus, but I have to imagine before that Abraham was like plastered on the walls of the entire place. I mean, Moses, these great leaders of ancient times were the founding fathers, if you will, of Judaism, would have been taught aggressively, and everything would have been said about Abraham, about, you know, what he did was reckoned him as righteousness. That's the faith, and that had been taught, and so they know all of this, but they're just not reasoning through it. They're being deceived,
yes,
by these Judaizing teachers who are all about law and works,
right.
And that's you know, the connection to both of these situations is through their faith.
Right, which is interesting. Again, that section in Colossians starts with being pushed every wind of doctrine and every philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's certainly what was going on. Again, the foolish... I like how Mike put it. It's really spiritually dull. Mm-hmm. It's not like, ah, you dummies. It's spiritually dull. How can you believe that when I've already shown you what the truth is? And since I've shown you what the truth is, how are you wavering from it? It's the old way. I had Luke, you don't have to turn there, but Luke 24, 26. Luke, nope, not 24, 26. Luke 24, 25, maybe? Luke 24, 25. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The foolishness has been there before, and we have examples of spiritually dull. Hey, how do you not see Christ for who he is? How do you not understand that Christ is the one that was put on the cross, buried, and then resurrected again? It's all just amazing things. Okay, good. What else?
Well, also in chapter 3, verse 1 of Galatians,
I mean,
not only are they foolish, they're bewitched, but he says, before whose eyes Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified.
Yes.
I mean, these are people who most likely saw it, eyewitness.
Yes, good. I forgot to
point and, that out. And that's another one of those things of how are you being so quickly, you know, deceived? And it just goes to show the power that deception can have.
Yes, which, as Paul already said, had already kind of made that argument.
Yeah.
Isn't that how he started the book?
Oh, yeah.
So again, it's interesting that he kind of has the chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then he goes into it. But he starts basically after the first couple of verses to say, what are you guys doing? How can you so quickly be astray? But it's because, like we read in Colossians, to and from every wind of doctrine and the philosophies of not of God, man.
And remember, there are people from the Galatian region that were there in Acts 2,
yes,
the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
So they...
What happened in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost?
Well, the apostles received it, but they were probably there 50 days earlier and saw the death, burial, and they might have witnessed the resurrection. Probably witnessed the resurrection. Might have even seen Jesus in the flesh after his resurrection.
Which, again, I go to that argument of, if Paul's saying your eyes saw the crucifixion, doesn't that mean that at least some of them that was reading this would have seen it? It has to.
Well, it also gets to the point
where we would say, you know, if you just showed me one miracle, I believe. Just one. That's all I need. I need one miracle and I believe. Well, here we have people that are being deceived, you know, real quickly after actually seeing something that is pretty miraculous, which is faith.
I didn't think about that. I maybe that gets to the point of Abraham also. Did Abraham get to see Christ?
No.
But when God said, Abraham, take your family and go, what did Abraham do? When God said, Abraham, take your son up to that mountain and sacrifice him, what did Abraham do?
He obeyed.
When God says, be immersed in water and come into to contact with the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you can now approach, you know, be in a saved relationship with God, what does that make?
Right.
That takes faith.
Right. Good. There's hands all over the place. Solomon, I saw your hand.
Yeah. Well, Mike mentioned a miracle, and I was thinking, what would be a perfect miracle for Paul to stand in front of him? Because Paul, he was the captain of the Jewish religion. Mm-hmm. He was killing all these people, yeah. And he's like, I mean, just for him to repent, it should be a big signal.
Which, again, I think gets to chapter 1 and chapter 2.
Yeah.
100%. Good point. John?
Well, also, if they were there for Pentecost, and probably there for the crucifixion.
Yes.
These Jews saw in the temple the veil being torn,
yes,
from top to bottom.
Yes.
Which is, you can't do that.
Right.
They weren't tall enough to grab a hold of it and didn't have a right to try and tear it. That veil was, like we would call, then it was about 4 inches to 6 inches thick.
Right. Which, again, we talked about, Galatians is probably the first book written. I didn't want to get an argument about that. But not only did, should you have seen that, it wasn't that long ago. Randy's been like jumping back there to make a point.
Well, John started it, but they did see miracles.
They did.
The
which
man was born, darkness came over, earthquake, and people got up out of the grave and started walking around. How many miracles do you need?
That's what I have walking.
Can you imagine? What else? What did they receive? What did he say they received? This, yeah. Which I am not as learned as Randy, so I'm not going to go down the path that he went down a couple months ago. But he did a wonderful job talking about the Holy Spirit, and I am going to take my white flag and say, if you have any Holy Spirit questions, there's more people that are way more versed than me on all of that. But he talks about receiving the Holy Spirit, and you guys have had that. And how do you not? How do you not know? How do you let yourself get off so quickly?
Here,
Larry.
You know, who would have been more appropriate to pen this than Paul? I mean, when you look at his operation, when you look at the authority that he sets forth.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
His life.
How about, what is the general purpose of this section? Again, we've talked a lot about that. But I think a lot of that, let's go to verse 2 through 4. Galatians 3, 2 through 4. Man, I think we're going to be in the same section. There's just so much in here that we're probably going to say that the rest of this quarter. But Galatians 3, verses 2 through 4. Let me ask you only this. So Paul, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Which one did they receive it by?
Hearing by faith.
The faith, not the works. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? What, Spirit and flesh, tell me, are those the same thing, different things?
Different.
Those are contrasting things. So Paul is making his argument in contrasting things. Is it the Spirit or is it flesh? And if they answered those questions honestly, they would have to say Spirit. They could not say flesh. So who does that get to? I think that gets to the Judaizers, who are trying to say, yeah, great, but you also have to do this. Those are works, not of the Spirit, but of the flesh. Verse 4 says, did you suffer so many things indeed or in vain, if indeed it was in vain. Says he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, there's what Randy was talking about. What happened? They saw what? Miracles. Miracles. What was the purpose of miracles? Was that in your class, Mike? Or was that maybe Randy's class?
Well,
I don't remember
class.
Both of them.
Tim, it's to confirm the word.
Okay, so the flesh or the spirit? Did you have to confirm the old law?
No, not at all.
The miracles were to confirm who Christ was and that it was of the Spirit. Okay, good. What else? I'm just glancing at my notes here real quick. Galatians, we're not there yet, but Galatians 16, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. 5:16. But I say, what? So this is later on in the book. But Paul is saying, walk by what?
By the Spirit.
Walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the... Again, those are contrasting things. Walk by the Spirit, because it's not the flesh that matters. Verse 25 of chapter 5. Galatians 5:25. If you live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit.
Verse 17 actually says that the Spirit and the flesh are in opposition to one
another. Oh, there you go. Verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Man, again, you're sitting in the churches of Galatia, and you get this letter from Paul, and first of all, he calls you foolish, which maybe they knew it was spiritual dull, or maybe they didn't. Some of us would quickly react to this and say, wait, who are you calling a fool? But
tore up the letter.
Can you imagine?
Well, I mean, yeah, in the beginning of Galatians, this whole issue of hypocrisy with Peter and Barnabas is brought up, too. I mean, there's a lot of influence that these Judaizing teachers are having.
Yes.
So I think the thing that we have to be, you know, cognizant of is the fact that no matter who or how strong you may think you might be, you know, even, you know, the deceitfulness of sin is strong. The Bible talks about the heart being very easily deceived.
Right.
You can't trust oftentimes in the feelings of the heart, and I think that's oftentimes what happens, is that, you know, we can get ourselves caught up in that kind of stuff, so we too can be very vulnerable to such things. And
what do you mean by feelings of the heart, though?
Well, just the sense that, you know, we can allow our emotions or other things to say, you know, we want to justify our actions based upon something that we think is right, but it's not, you know, doesn't necessarily align with God's word, and we'll make decisions based on that, and we can get carried away. Why was Peter so quickly flipping camps?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a personable guy, you know, he was a kind of a gregarious guy, and he probably wanted to be liked by people, and for whatever reason, he had some emotions or some reason that he was,
Peter was
flipping back and forth between, you know, being with the Gentiles and being with the Jews, and... You know, Paul has to call into his face.
Yeah. So time out. 2022, November, set and prepare our heart. How easy is it to let emotions and things control? Control might be the wrong word. Influence might be a better word. Influence the way we make our decisions.
Yeah.
It's such a huge thing. And it doesn't mean that it's not human nature or things like that. I didn't really want to get into it Sunday night with David. But David, three different times, asks about the reward that he's going to get. And it's going to provide basically tax freedom to his family. So it's almost like David walks up and says, hey, dummies, what's the reward again? And they tell him what the reward is. And he's like, what's the reward? Oh, I'll take care of Goliath. Why does he feel that way, though? Because he knows that God's going to take care of Goliath. He knows that God's going to take care of him. So is it, sometimes do we see human emotion get involved? Sure. But when it boils down to it, what's the focus? God's the focus.
He knew that. And that's the kind of heart he had, Jim.
Right. Right. Man, we don't have time. If we get time later, just Romans chapter 4 about Abraham and faith, it's huge. And I wanted to go through Romans chapter 4. Maybe we may still end up. I don't think we got to get through a lot of other things. But if you need something to read this next couple days, and you want to talk about Paul and Paul saying Abraham was justified by faith and those things, go read Romans chapter 4. We're going to hit Romans chapter 4, Lord willing, a year from now. So we will get there. But there's just some amazing things contrasting in Romans chapter 4 to this, which we started this class. You remember what we called Romans or Galatians? It's like a mini Romans. There's a lot of similarities in the two books. But it's just fascinating things. We kind of hit on this, but Jewish people and sons of Abraham, how big of a deal would that be? That's what they held to, right?
Yeah.
We are blood lineage. We are sons of Abraham. But with the death of Christ, we are all have the opportunity to be sons of Abraham. That's that final promise that was fulfilled in Christ, that all would be blessed through him.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just trying to make sure.
That's where the lineage of Christ.
What does verse 10 say? Let's read verse 10. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. I have a note there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. So again, I think if you agree with me, this is what, he switches more to the spiritual aspect in the second half of that. But Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for as is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law." Why would that matter to this group of people? I think we've already talked about this and covered it, but why? How many of the old law pieces were they trying to bind? At least what we have recorded, not all of it. Yes. So Paul's like, hey, if you're going to bind something, why not bind it all? But is it those things that matter? No, because that's cursed under that system. I think it's interesting to note that. Okay. Let's, 2 minutes. Verse 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is who?
Everyone.
Who is hung on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of who? We didn't have time to go back and look at the three promises to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. But they are there. And the final promise was that all nations would be blessed through him, not physically, spiritually, through Christ. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing, again, think about the Jews of the time, the Judaizers, who put a lot of merit in the fact that they were sons of Abraham. But now, who can be blessed through Abraham? All. Who can be blessed through Abraham's lineage, if you will, by Christ? I think I said that wrong, but... might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through what? Doesn't say by works. He says by faith. It's not the works, it's our faith. What's the first step of showing that faith? Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking baptism, yeah, but sure.
Yeah.
Dave.
I was going to say, verse 13, Christ took the place of the lawbreaker.
Yeah, that's a verse, which is, forget where that is, but yeah. Christ took the place. The lawbreaker was still there, right? Who's the law? Who's the lawbreakers? Us. Christ took that place. I have a feeling we're going to still be here, but we will eventually get into our next section is, I think, to the end of verse 20. Yeah, the end of the chapter. So if you get a chance, read 15 through the end of the chapter. We'll probably at least start to scratch that surface on Sunday. Guys, I appreciate the comments and the thoughts. Appreciate your time.